My name is Dave Coy. I'm the assistant director, program director, whatever you want to call me at camp. I get to have the fun and games. That's my job. So it's good to be with you. I have a wife and two boys. They're not able to be with me this evening, but my wife, Jean, we've been married 13 years. We tell people we've been married 12 wonderful years. The first year was a good, important year, but going through it was a difficult year, so we joke around that we've been married 13, but it's been 12 wonderful years. We have two boys, Jackson, who just turned 10 this past week, which is crazy. We have double digits already. And then Dawson is our youngest. He's 5 and a half. He is our exercise program. He runs around like crazy, and we're chasing him all over the place. So I'm going to take a little bit of a risk tonight, and all those in the back, we're going to have you move up like 4 rows. All right? Come on up. I know, it's a risk. Come on up, move right up a little bit, just a little bit. I won't spit on you, I promise. I'll keep my distance still. Wow, look at that. See, I'm the camp guy, so I'm allowed to do this and pay the consequences later. Wow, good job, thank you. That's cool. I know, you all have your assigned seats, and now we've messed them up. I promise next week you can go back to them. So that's a risk, because I know that we just pulled you out of your comfort zone, so some of you are probably mad at me, and you're going to ignore the rest of the stuff I have to talk about tonight. So I encourage you not to do that, okay? We're excited to share some really cool things that God is doing. And first and foremost, we just want to say God is at work. Amen? And He is not dead. He is alive, and He is at work. We have seen that in the churches that we've been visiting. We have seen that at camp. And so we want to share what He's doing at camp. But I don't want you to get the wrong idea. This is not us bragging about what we're doing. Many of you know myself, and Dave Wilcox is our new executive director, is his title. And many of you know us, and you know that anything good that's happening at Biuka is not because of us. It is by the grace of God that He is doing anything at camp. So first of all, I just want to say thank you. Thank you to you as individuals, as a church family, for your partnership in ministry. You have invested heavily in Camp Biuka through your prayers, through your giving, both financially and your time coming to serve, and through sending campers for many years. Thank you for that. We really appreciate the investment that you guys make. We do not take that lightly, and God is blessing that. I'm going to share that. I wanted to also come and share what God has done this past year or so, and also get you excited about this summer. How many of you guys are excited about summer? All right, yeah. See, that's an easy part of my job, is to get people excited about summer. So I want to share with you what we've got, some of the plans we have for this summer. We just brought on our program intern. Each year we hire a program intern for the summer. We'd like to get to the place where we could bring them on for a whole year so they get that full year-round experience. But they come on for a summer, and our summer intern this year is Matt Bartlett. He has been a counselor at Biuka. He was a camper for many years, and then a counselor, and he's going to be our intern. He just started officially on Monday, and he has some crazy ideas, and we're excited to see how those come to fruition. So some of you are very familiar. Some of you may not be as familiar with Biuka, so I'm going to share what we offer as far as program in the summertime and talk about the rest of the year as well. We start out with Senior High Week, which is for those who are in 9th through 12th grade, and we have some new things this year. We're adding some new team challenges. We have a low ropes course where teams come together and they build unity. More than that, it's about growing beyond where they are in their relationship with God and others. That's what it's about. Unity is nice, but they're only going to be together for 5 days. And so our goal is to help them grow beyond where they are in their relationship with God and others through that. So we're adding some new elements to that, which should be really exciting for them. We have paintball, and we've had that for quite a few years now. But this year we are adding a different element to that, and that is called speedball. Anybody played speedball? Know what speedball is? Pastor Paul in the back, thank you. I see that hand. Yes, another. Good. So speedball, it's just like paintball, only it's on a small field, and it goes really fast because there's not as many things to hide behind. So that's going to be a lot of fun for teens to be able to play. We do that during the retreat season. We've never done that in the summertime. And so we're going to plan that for Junior High Week and for Senior High Week. We are hoping this works out. We're hoping to do black light dodgeball. So it's going to have to be later at night because in the summertime, obviously, it takes a little longer to get dark. But people, senior hires are going to be able to sign up to come down and play black light dodgeball, and that should be a lot of fun as well. We have Precious Jewels Week, which is for campers with special needs. We have kids who are 8 years old who come to that week. We have adults who are 80 years old come to that week. We try to split them up based on their ages so that the younger ones get to run and go and do what they want to do, and the older ones are able to just kind of relax and enjoy spending time together. They love sitting in the gazebo telling jokes to one another, and it's just a lot of fun. I enjoy that week because they actually laugh at my jokes, so that's a nice thing as well. A couple things we do during our Precious Jewels Week. We have a carnival, and how many of you were on the team that came just a couple years ago? Raise your hand. I should have you guys tell them what we do. But we do a carnival. We call it the Bayuca County Fair, and it's just a bunch of different carnival games that they're able to enjoy. And we also have a softball game that we've been doing for 43 years. It's the campers versus the staff. And the campers are 43-0. They have yet to lose to the staff. And some of you I see here have been on staff in the past. You were part of that losing streak, and it continues to this day. That's a lot of fun as well, watching the softball game. We talk a lot of trash with the campers and staff, and the very first night when the campers get there, they're going, "You're going down on Thursday night." They're excited about the softball game, and they always beat us, which is really remarkable. We have junior camp, which is for second through fifth grade. We have 2 weeks of that, so you can kind of get, yes, excited. We have a couple weeks so you can choose what's going to work best for your vacation time, when friends are going, those types of things. And some junior camp things that we do, we have a creek where you can go and you can look for crayfish and fossils and all kinds of things, toads and newts and frogs and snakes even. You might find one once in a while. Yeah, so lots of critters to try to find during junior camp. That's a lot of fun for our junior campers. New this year for our junior camp is we have a thing called short stay camp. And that's going to run from Sunday night to Wednesday afternoon. So it's just a few nights. For those who are interested in coming and just kind of trying it out, going, a whole week, I don't think I could go for that long, but maybe just a few days. I never went to camp as a kid. I was too scared. And if you want to talk to me afterwards, I'll tell you what I was afraid of. But this would have been really up my alley because I could have tried it out and seen how it went. So that really helps kids. It also helps parents. Some parents are afraid to send their kids for a whole week, and so they can go, okay, we'll just let them go for a couple days and see how that works, okay? And they can be a part of that. If the camper and the parent decides on Wednesday afternoon that they're having a great time, they want them to stay the rest of the week, they can do that, pay for those last 2 days and stay. But there's that safety net of you can leave on Wednesday afternoon, and there's no worries about that. So that's called short stay camp. That's just for our junior camp. Middle school week is 6th and 7th grade, and then junior high week is 7th and 8th grade. So our 7th graders have a choice of which one you want to go to, middle school or junior high. We also offer paintball and speedball for the middle school and junior high week as well. And then for junior high and senior high week, a couple of things we do both those weeks is a night game. Bayuca is pretty famous for their night games. We have about 80 acres of property, so we're able to utilize those in the dark with our campers running all over the place, doing some really neat things with them during junior high week and senior high week. And then we have this new game a couple years ago we added called bubble soccer. Have you seen the bubble balls? They're these giant inflatables. There's a hole in the top so you can breathe, and then your legs stick out on the bottom, and we play soccer with it. Really, the soccer ball is just a prop so you can run around and hit people. That's really what it's all about. And it's a lot of fun hitting each other. My favorite is, we call it turtle syndrome. It's when somebody gets hit and their legs are up in the air and they just go like this because they can't get flipped back over. We help them out with that. But that's offered for junior high week and senior high week. We're also going to have a new game this year called soccer golf. And it's just like regular golf, only you kick a soccer ball. We're going to play that around the campground as well. So that's some of our kids' camp weeks. Senior High Week, our speaker this year is Fred Deffendorf. He is the program activities coordinator at Clark Summit University, also a former camp guy out at a Camp Skyview Ranch in Ohio. So him and his family will be there during Senior High Week. We have a chapel time in the morning, a chapel time in the evening, where Fred will be sharing God's word. junior camp. We have two different speakers. I believe the first week is Scott Wilson, and he is a former program director at a camp called Path of Life Camp. It's pretty neat. We get to partner with all these other camps. He was a horse rancher at Path of Life Camp, and he's going to be sharing God's word with the one junior week. And Ty Wozniak, who is a pastor out in Michigan, will be coming for, I believe, the second week. They might be switched. Middle school week, we have a guy by the name of Matt Carpenter. Some of you may recognize that name. His dad, Alan Carpenter, served as a pastor in many of the churches in this area before he went to be with the Lord. His son, Matt, is a pastor down in New Jersey, and he's coming back to Bayuca for a week during middle school camp and going to share God's word during that time. And then junior high week, our speaker is Brendan Saunders. Brendan is a pastor out in Connecticut, and he'll be coming for our junior high. He's been with us before. Campers love him. He's very interpersonal. So not only is he up there sharing God's word at chapel time, but throughout the day, he's interacting with the campers and building relationships with them, helping them work through what God's teaching them during that week as well. Something else that we have added this year, we have brochures out at the display out there, and you'll see in there something new to help encourage campers to come and help with the finances of it, is we're offering this discount. If you bring a camper who has never been to Bayuca as a camper before, outside of your immediate family, you receive $50 off your camper fee for bringing them with you. They get a $10 gift certificate to our camp store / snack shack as well. So a really great incentive. Somebody asked me, I was in Dryden this morning, they're like, so what's the deal with that? Is there a limit? Well, really the limit is 6. You can bring as many as you want, but at 6, you get to come to camp for free. And one kid in another church asked me, if I bring 10, do I get money back? No. Good try, but no, you don't get money back. But you get to go to camp for free if you bring 6 friends who have never been to Bayuca as a camper before. So that's a real great incentive, and we want to encourage kids who have never been to camp before to come and see God change their lives at camp. So we're excited about that. Some of you may be going, I'm too old to go to camp. This isn't for me. Actually, you're wrong. We have family camp as well. And that's for families, but also adults who maybe their kids have grown up and moved on, and you're ready to just go and kick back and relax and enjoy some fellowship together. You can come to family camp as well. We have a week of family camp. And then we have a weekend, family camp weekend, which is Labor Day weekend, runs from Friday night to Monday afternoon. So if your vacation time is difficult, you can work around that, or it also helps you financially. I was just at a church, and a lady shared with me, they've been coming to family camp for 39 years. And she said, we love family camp. We believe in it. And she said, there was a couple of years where we didn't go because finances were just kind of tight. And we thought, family camp was one of those frivolous things that was an extra perk that we needed to cut out. And she said, after a couple of years, we realized it wasn't frivolous, that it was a necessity for our family, that it was an investment. We needed to be at family camp because what God did in our family while we were there. And I don't tell you that to guilt you into you have to go to family camp because of this, but to share with you, we are aware of the finances and how much it costs, but our family campers tell us it's an investment. It's an investment they're making into their family, and they see God change their life. You could go to Disney World. It's going to cost you 20 times as much as family camp. You're also not going to get the spiritual atmosphere that you're going to get at family camp. We have great godly men who come and share God's word and the fellowship that happens. You can't put a price on that. I love families connecting together outside of those times, where they're challenging each other, they're encouraging each other, sitting around campfires, praying together. It's an exciting time for family camp. So I want to encourage you to check that out, our family camp and family camp weekend as well. I'm going to show you a video that gives you a little bit of an idea of some of the craziness that happens at camp. One of our core values is fun and adventure. And as you can see, we have a lot of fun and adventure as we learn and grow together in God's word. A few years ago, our director, Russ Warner, many of you know Russ, retired after 41 years as our camp director, him and Shirley. And Dave Wilcox, who was an assistant director under Russ, was mentored by Russ, as well as I was, took over as our director, and we began talking about, all right, we're kind of in a transition here with our director of 41 years stepping down. We need to figure out who Bayuca really is. What is it that we do well, and what do we want to be about as a camp? So we sought out a lot of wise counsel and spent a lot of time praying, talking through things, and what we determined was Bayuca is a common ground for local churches to multiply. That we were founded by local churches, and that we were established as a local church camp. And so we want to come alongside of you as a local church and complement what you're already doing. We're not in competition. We are all a part of God's kingdom, but we believe Jesus was very serious when he said, I will build my church and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. And so we want to be a part of that. He didn't promise to build his camp. He promised to build his church. And so we want to be a part of that. What I'm going to share with you is our mission, what we are about as a camp. And as I share that, I'm going to give you two challenges. I want you to think through, what is my part, or your part, in this mission that Bayuca has? How can I help Bayuca accomplish this? And then what am I doing in my own community, in my own church, to help accomplish this as well? Turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. Our mission is to reach, establish, equip, and launch people in serving Christ. It spells out reel, like a fishing reel, R-E-E-L. That was on, well, as far as the human perspective, on accident. We weren't planning that. That was just the way it came out. In fact, we tried to get the second E to an A so it could be like the real thing, you know, the real deal. And we just couldn't come up with a synonym for it, so we left it. He said, well, it's kind of biblical. You know, Jesus told his disciples he would make them fishers of men. So we left it as reel, like a fishing reel. Matthew chapter 28, Jesus has died and risen again, and he has come, and he's talking to his disciples before he ascends back to the Father, and he's meeting with them, and he gives them these marching orders. Verse 19 says, go ye therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. It's common sense, right? If we're going to be effective fishers of men, we have to first reach people with the good news of Jesus Christ. I know I have a friend who's in our apartment. We live in an apartment building, an older gentleman, and he lives to fish. That's what he's about. Well, he's not a fisherman if he doesn't ever catch anything. He has to go out there and try to catch fish, and he does catch a lot of fish. he has a huge freezer full of fish, but he wants to reach those fish. He has to catch them, and so that's the same spiritually. We have to reach people with the good news of Jesus Christ. Now, it's God's job to save them, but it's our job to reach out and to share the good news with them. So how do we do that? I want you to think about, how did Jesus do that? How did he reach people with the good news that he had come to share? What did he talk about? He talked about sheep. He talked about farming. He talked about money. He talked about food. And what did he do? He went. He went to where they were. Now, the synagogue was the big center point of that time. And so he would spend a lot of time in the synagogue and in the temple, sharing with the people who were there. And as he was walking, he was always talking to them, sharing what God wanted him to share. But he talked a lot about sheep, farming, money, and food. Anybody here work with sheep? Okay, yeah, me neither. Okay. But then in that time, in that culture, there were a lot of shepherds. Sheep were a big deal. So when Jesus talked to them about the good shepherd, they knew exactly what a good shepherd was. Now today, we have to kind of explain all of that because I don't know any shepherds, right? And so Jesus shared with them what they understood. Now farming, we live in central New York, so we know farming. We get that. Money, we understand money, right? Food, now you're talking my language. Now you got me here. Food. So he spoke what they understood. You know, we have a generation of young people growing up who have never read the Bible. In fact, if you're under 35 years old, you can kind of tune me out for just a second, and then I'll bring you back in. But if you're 35 and under, those who are 35 and under, your peers have never read the Bible, most likely, unless they're here in your church or in another church that you know. But your friends from college, high school, elementary school, never read the Bible. Never even read part of the Bible, let alone the whole Bible. They don't know what it says. You know, we are not a Christian nation today. We were founded as a Christian nation. We're no longer a Christian nation. Most people have not grown up in church today. And they don't understand the Bible. And so we are really no different than any other missionary overseas today. We are in a foreign culture where we have to go and reach them. We need to be students of their culture, understanding who they are, how they learn, what they're doing, and then reaching them with the good news of Jesus Christ. I want you to think about how, as a missionary, how ineffective I would be if I moved to Japan and started a church and I just spoke English and played paintball. Would I reach people? Probably not. Maybe somebody would come along. And I could say, well, it's just, you know, it's because nobody cares about the gospel. Well, no, it's because nobody cares about paintball in Japan. Nobody plays paintball in Japan. What do they do in Japan? Taekwondo. We have a missionary friend, Chris Sadowitz. Many of you may know him. He's a missionary in Japan. You know what he does? He learned the language. He became a student of their culture, talking to adults and children and learning how they think, because a Japanese person thinks different than an American person. And so he spent time with them learning and growing. And then he started doing things like Taekwondo classes, where kids come and they learn Taekwondo. And while they're learning Taekwondo, Chris is sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with them. That's what a missionary does. And that's what we have to do in our society today. We are missionaries in a foreign culture in America. They have not grown up in church. So we have to be students of them, spend time with them, get to know them, figure out how they learn. You say, man, that takes a lot of time, doesn't it? Yep. But it's worth it. Because you're talking about souls of people here. So it's worth taking the time to get to know them, to learn how they think. It's amazing. We have some friends in our lives who are very far from God. And it breaks my heart when I talk to them and they share some of the things that they're going through and trying to figure out, and they're doing it on their own. And they go, well, we tried this, but this didn't work. So then we tried this, and this didn't work. And we go, well, you know, God has solutions to those things. Yeah, I know. But they try to do it on their own. They are lost as lost can be. Reaching people with the good news of Jesus Christ. In 2016, we saw 30 people trust Jesus Christ as their Savior at Camp Bayuca. 30 people, lives changed for eternity. And that's because of you. Your guys' investment in those 30 people. A couple of tools that we added this year to help in that are winterized cabins and a brand new winterized bathroom. There's a missions agency called CWE, Construction for World Evangelism, and they contacted us and said, I heard that you might have a building project, and we'd like to consider you as maybe that project for us. And we said, okay, we're okay with that. They said, well, here's the process. We have several other organizations that we're also contacting, and so we'll put your name in the mix with all the others. We'll have you fill out an application. We'll do some interviews with you, and then our board will meet and we'll pray together. And if it's not a unanimous decision, then we'll come back together and figure out what we're missing. And then we'll take another vote. And if it's not a unanimous decision, we go on to the next organization, because that's clearly not what God wants us to do. And through that process, they chose us. And that was God, totally God. And so last May, a year ago, they came and they built a brand new winterized girls' bathroom for us. And they paid 75% of the cost, and they provided all the labor for it. In fact, it's an organization that anybody can get involved in. And what they do is they have volunteers from all over the country who sign up for these different trips. And they take them across the United States as well as around the world and do building projects for different organizations. And it's a really cool trip that they do. They have chapel times each day. It's a discipleship thing through and through as they go through that. And so we added that. So in the summertime, it's a girls' bathroom. Throughout the family camp and then their winter retreat season, we split it in half and we were able to use half for men's, half for ladies. So that's been a huge blessing. Here's how God works. Right around that same time, another individual contacted us, said, Dave, I'd like to meet with you and talk to you about maybe investing financially into the camp. So Dave Wilcox sat down with him and he said, I've been praying about, I have some money that I'd like to give somewhere, and I thought about maybe Bayuca, but I was wondering, would there be a need to winterize some of the girls, some of the cabins at camp? And Dave shared with him what CWE was doing, and he said, well, this just confirms that this is exactly what God wants me to do. He said, I've been praying about this, trying to figure out, and this is what God wants me to do. He provided all the materials for us to winterize the girls' cabins. We provided the labor, and he provided the resources necessary for that. So now we have, at the same time, two groups of people not knowing each other at all, no connection, randomly calling us, saying, we want to build a new winterized bathroom for you and winterize half of your cabins for you. That is all God. We never lifted a finger for any of that. We just simply prayed, and God sent those people. That wasn't even really on our radar. It was in like our 3 to 5 year plan, and God said, nope, it's going to be this year. And so we have those. So now, summertime, it improves the facilities for the summertime, but we also have things more available to churches to be able to come and do retreats and events at camp with nicer facilities. One of the stories, one of the girls who came one of the weeks for that CWE trip was a girl by the name of Minar. And pretty early in the week, she indicated that she didn't know Jesus Christ as her Savior. And so the leaders of the trip came to us and said, we need you to pray for Minar. We don't think she's saved. And so we were praying for her. And I think it was like Wednesday or Thursday, Lindsay, who is our office manager, went on a kayak ride with Minar down at our lake. And they're chit-chatting, you know, getting to know each other, sharing about where they're from and stuff. And Lindsay says, well, how's your week going, Minar? And she says, better now. And Lindsay says, what do you mean, better now? And she said, well, I asked Jesus to be my Savior last night. And she ended up sharing that she found this trip online and wanted to make a difference in the world. But she says, I had no idea there was going to be teachings on this trip. But she says, while I was here, the speaker was like he was preaching right to me from God's word. And she said, I knew that I needed to accept Jesus as my Savior. She called her boyfriend up that night and shared with him and said, they come from a different religious background. And she said, I want you to know that I found God while I was on this trip. And when I get back, things are going to be a little different. And he says, well, it's funny you say that because I've been kind of questioning my beliefs as well. And I'd be interested to hear what you've learned while you're on that trip. So Minar got to go home and share with her boyfriend about Jesus Christ as well. We have no idea where things are at with that, but we continue to pray for Minar. Reaching people. Time is short. We need to reach people with the good news of Jesus Christ. Second is we need to establish them in the faith. We are about establishing people in the faith. You don't have to turn there, but Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7 says, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. You can't live out what you don't know, right? How do you do something if you don't know what it is? And so not only do we help reach people with the good news of Jesus Christ, but then we establish them in the faith. We formally and informally disciple people. We teach them how to study God's word. We teach them the basics of theology and who Jesus is. Why? So that they can be stable in an amazingly unstable world. This world is unstable, right? You know that? All you have to do is turn the news on for just a couple of minutes. We have a neighbor lady. She says, I watch CNN in the morning for 15 minutes, and I watch CNN in the evening for 15 minutes. And she says, that's all I can handle. She's an elderly woman. She says, I just need to kind of have an idea of what's going on in the world, and then I'm done. We live in a chaotic world, a very unstable world. And it would break your heart to hear some of the stories that campers share with our counselors about the stuff that they've been through in their lives. At a young age, and our counselors come and they say, I'm 20 years old and I don't know how to handle that. How does a 9-year-old respond to that and handle that? And so we help establish them in the faith. Their circumstances don't change when they go home, but our prayer is that they have changed and that they found the hope of Jesus Christ while they're at camp and that they get established in their faith so that they have a helper, the Holy Spirit, who is living inside of them and helps them through those circumstances. We want to keep getting better at this as a camp. We have not arrived in any of these different aspects. Last year, we saw 17 kids who said they want to get baptized when they got back to their local churches. And one of my jobs, which I love being able to do, is contacting pastors and youth pastors and Sunday school teachers and asking them, hey, did you get our follow-up sheet that so-and-so said they want to be baptized? Do you feel that they're ready? Have they followed through on that decision? And many times this past year, I've gotten emails back saying, I just baptized them last week. Or they're going through the class right now and they're ready to move forward. Our son Jackson is 10 years old. Palm Sunday, he was obedient to water baptism and got baptized. And I was able to, my wife Jean and I baptized him. There's also two campers from Bayuca that go to our church, and they wanted to be baptized as well. And so they asked our pastors if I could baptize them at our church. That was a really cool experience, to be in the church that I was pastoring in, and now as a camp guy, being able to, campers that I know and have connected with, be able to baptize them. We want to establish people in the faith. The next is equipping them for service. We need a volunteer. Who wants to volunteer? Like, not after you make me move up front. I'm not volunteering. One volunteer who wants to be the brave soul. All right, come on up. I won't make you get all the way up on stage. Okay, why don't you share with everybody your name?
Michaela.
Michaela. You guys all knew that already? Okay, cool. That was more for me, Michaela, than for them. Okay, Michaela. Are you a football fan?
No.
Okay. This will be fun. Anybody like football here? Okay. Not too long ago, they just had the NFL draft, right? Well, I don't know if you knew, but the New York Jets for a few years trained right down the road in Cortland, which is where I live, and they were there for 3 years. Well, they drafted a quarterback, but it's not going to work out, so they have actually asked if Michaela would come and be their quarterback. So, congratulations. That's very exciting news here on a Sunday evening. So she's ready to go, right? Quarterback for the New York Jets? Good to go?
No.
What does she need?
Training.
She needs some training, okay? Have you ever thrown a football?
Yes.
Okay, that's good, all right. But she needs a little bit of training about how to. Okay, what else?
Playbook.
A playbook would be very helpful. You might want to come up with a new one for the New York Jets. Okay, they need a playbook. What else? Some muscle. Somebody this morning said 200 pounds. Yeah. Going to need to work out a little bit. No offense or anything, but have you seen those guys?
Yeah.
They're pretty big. Yes.
Helmet.
Helmet. That would be very good to protect that head. Okay. What else?
Courage.
Okay. You're going to need a lot of courage to get out there on that football field. Good coaching. Yeah. Going to need some coaches to help her walk through what she's going to be doing and working through all of that, okay? You're going to need to be equipped, in other words, okay? That's all very important. You know, sometimes what we do as followers of Christ is we help reach somebody with the good news of Jesus Christ, and then we say, well, good luck, see ya. And we kind of leave them on their own, and they're like, playbook, coaches, something? I need some help here. And we want to be a part of helping equip people to serve. Thank you, Michaela. Good job. Now, Ephesians 4 is very clear that it is the job of the local church to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. It's the job of the pastors to do that. But as a camp, we want to come alongside and help in equipping. And what a better place to do that than at camp, where you get 24 hours a day, hands-on experience, learning new things, experiencing new things, figuring out how to think through those things, and being a part of that. A couple of new opportunities that we've added these last couple years to help in that. One is a thing called Bayuca Leadership Training. Nathaniel's up here, and I'm not going to embarrass him or anything. I'll just wave to him. Okay, that's Nathaniel, if you didn't know him. Nathaniel has been a part of the Bayuca Leadership Training the last 2 years. We have had several senior high students have come through that. In our brochure tells a little bit more about that, and I'd be happy to talk to you more about that. But what that is for senior hires, 9th through 12th grade. They come for 2 weeks, basically what the cost of 1 week would be. It's $315 total for the 2 weeks. We're pretty sure we're losing money on that, but we believe that this is an investment God wants us to make, so we're doing that. And we saw last year, six high schoolers went through the first-year track. Potentially, it's a two-year track. The first year is called the Nehemiah track, and that is learning how to lead by learning how to follow, being a good follower, learning servanthood. And so they go through that, and we had six that went through that. Nathaniel was our only Timothy last year. The second-year track is called Timothy, and that is learning how to guide and direct. And so they come for 2 weeks. They enjoy the things of camp, some of the stuff you saw up there, but they go through some sessions, some training sessions, where they learn, how has God wired you? How has God put you together? What are your gifts and abilities? What are some ways that you could serve in your church? And we walk them through that, and we talk to them about, how do you share your faith with an unbeliever? How do you build teamwork when you're working on a team in your church? And all those different things. And then to go on to the second year of that, there's two things that are required. They need to find a mentor, somebody in their church who's older than them, and they need to find a ministry to serve in the local church. Because it's great if they get all this head knowledge at camp and learn how to serve, but if they don't actually do anything with it, what's the point, right? So we challenge them, you need to find a ministry when you get back. And Nathaniel is a great example of that, where God has been doing that in his life. Ed, in the back here, is his mentor. And here's what we mean. Everybody finds mentoring, discipleship, and all that in different ways. Here's all we're requiring of them. You find an adult who's going to talk to you at church on Sunday and once a month contact you outside of church. That's it. If it leads into something more than that, that's great. But man, if every teenager had an adult in their church who knew that they were there on Sunday and recognized them and then once a month contacted them outside of church, I believe we'd bridge that gap, that generation gap that's there a lot of times. Titus 2 is pretty clear, right? As older men and older women, I'm considered that now. What we're supposed to be doing for younger men and younger women, we're supposed to be teaching them, going after them. A few years ago, there was a girl who was considering being a counselor for us at Biuka, and she just wasn't sure if that's what God wanted her to do or not. So she contacted me and she said, Dave, I've been thinking about being a counselor, but I just don't know if that's what God wants for me. How do I know if that's what God wants me to do or not? And I said, well, first of all, you need to be in God's Word. Okay? Spend time in God's Word. And then spend time praying, talking to Him, asking God, what do you want me to do? And then you need to seek out wise counsel, some adults that you trust, some godly individuals that could kind of maybe see, you know, have known you for a while, can help see where God might be directing you and where your gifts and abilities are. I said, do you have anybody like that? And she said, you mean besides my parents? I said, yeah. Talk to your parents, obviously, but seek out other wise counsel as well. And this is a girl who grew up in a Bible-believing church, a strong Christian home, and she said, I don't have anybody like that. There's nobody in my church that I feel comfortable talking to about being a counselor. I mean, this wasn't like, you know, deep, dark, interpersonal things. This was just being a counselor at camp. And she said, I don't have anybody like that. And we hear that a lot, young people who say, I don't have an adult in my life that is investing that I could talk to and ask them for guidance. So we want to be a part of that solution. So we're helping kind of force the hand with that with our high schoolers of finding a mentor in their local church. We just had a meeting on Saturday with the teens that went through it this past year, and a couple of them still haven't found a mentor. And what they said is, well, I've asked a couple of people and they've told me no. And what I found is there's a couple of reasons why people say no. One is it just that title, mentor, completely freaks them out. Well, I haven't arrived. How can I help somebody else? I haven't figured it out. Well, you don't have to have arrived. I mean, Jesus' disciples, have you read about them? They were a mess, okay? But you know Jesus Christ is your Savior, and you can take them to that next step. You don't have to take them all the way to complete Christ-likeness. You just take them to that next step. The second part, I think, the reason why is because they don't know what that means. And so we're trying to define that. Listen, everybody's busy, so all we are looking for is talk to them at church on Sunday and once a month contact them outside of church. We have some who are doing Bible studies, meeting every other week. That's not our expectation. If it becomes that, great. But just somebody a godly individual, an adult in their life, who helps bridge that gap for our young people. And so we believe in that. We also started a thing with our staff, summer staff, called Propel for our high school staff and Launch for our college staff. And what that is, again, I can explain the rest of it later to you, but basically each staff member has a coach for the summer, somebody that they meet with once a week. And at the beginning of the summer, we have some different character qualities from God's word that we say, these are the qualities that God wants us to have. What are the ones that you feel like you need to work on? And the coach helps them pick those out, and then through the summer talks about what is God doing in that. And then at the end of the summer, we challenge them again with, okay, who's going to continue this after you leave here? Who's going to help you continue to grow in your relationship with Christ? An adult, somebody who's older than you in your local church that can be a part of that. So reach, establish, equip, and then launch people into serving Christ. One of the things we say is what happens at Bayuca shouldn't stay at Bayuca. It should leave with you and go home and launch people into serving Christ. Our vision is a life-changing camp experience that helps others reach their world for Christ. It's not about Bayuca. It's about the kingdom of God. When I was a pastor, I remember getting discouraged sometimes because I didn't feel like I was reaching as many people as I thought I should be reaching. We are reaching them, just not as quickly as I was hoping for. But through some wise counsel, some parents of some teens, what they pointed out that God was doing was he was reaching a few who were then going out and reaching many. And teens who were going all over the country, all over the world, reaching others. We didn't have 500 teens in our youth group. But what we had was kids who were devoted to Christ, not perfect. Some of them have walked away, but they wanted to serve Christ. And they were going all over. They were being launched. And that's what we want to do at Bayuca. We want to be a part of a movement across New York State where young people are being established and equipped and then sent back into their local churches like Open Door to reach their communities for Christ. So what's your part in that? I don't know. You have to figure that out for yourself. How can you help us accomplish that mission? And what are you doing right here at Open Door to help reach people with the good news of Jesus Christ, to help establish and equip people for service? And how are you helping them launch into reaching others with the gospel? And that's my encouragement. That's my challenge to you tonight. I have a display in the back, and we have flyers to tell about some of our other retreats and events. I'd love to talk to you. This is only not even half of what God's doing, but we're excited at what he's doing, and we want to continue to be a partner in that. So thank you. Let's pray. God, to you alone belongs the glory. We don't deserve even to have a relationship with you, let alone be used by you to share the good news. God, thank you for entrusting that with us, and I pray that you would find us as good, faithful stewards of that. Thank you for Open Door. Thank you for their love for you, their commitment to you. Thank you for their passion to reach their community for Christ. God, I thank you for the partnership we have had together over the years and how you have blessed that and used that as a camp and also as a church. God, I pray that you would give us wisdom as we move forward, help us to know what that looks like. And I pray that this summer, this fall, we would see more reached and established and equipped and then launched into serving you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.